You're listening to the Choose You Podcast, episode 14. Hey guys, I'm Carmen Sakurai, certified life strategist and advocate for victims of narcissistic abuse. In this episode, I'll be addressing some important issues regarding victim shaming and victim blaming, and how those who are not familiar with NPD abuse inadvertently re-traumatize survivors. Let's begin. Before I begin, I wanted to put it out there that I'm feeling around to see if there's demand for a private Facebook support group and or a weekly Zoom meeting for survivors. If there's enough interest, I can set these resources up in a week or two. Come cast your vote. The link to the quick survey is in the show notes. Okay, so victim shaming and blaming occurs when the victim of any wrongful act is held entirely or partially accountable for what happened. This causes re-traumatization in those who have suffered chronic abuse. Further, there are false beliefs and assumptions that, even when communicated in well-meaning ways, can pose harm to survivors of narcissistic abuse and their journey to recovery. Studies have shown that narcissistic abuse victims who open up about their experiences and are met with negative reactions from family, friends, and professionals are burdened with added self-blame, unworthiness, and even doubts about their own experiences. Now, what motivated this episode was the responses I received from an article I wrote on my blog at Psych Central titled, "The Narcissistic Mother, One of the Most Frightening of All Personalities." Psych Central, if you're not familiar with it, is one of the largest mental health sites online, and I'm grateful to have recently been given my own space on their website titled Permission to Thrive. I've included a link in the show notes so you can check it out. Anyway, I heard back from hundreds of adult children of toxic mothers who had no idea there was even a term for what they endured as children. They were unaware that anything could possibly be wrong with their mother and lived their lives in doubt, fear, anxiety, and self-loathing. However, I also received quite a few disturbingly hateful comments from mothers who, as far as I can see, are mentally and emotionally unhealthy. Because healthy moms who don't identify with the toxic mothers I wrote about wouldn't react so aggressively over an article they simply disagreed with. Here are just a few of the angry responses I received. "You have to stop enabling entitled children. It's not my fault I didn't have time for my kids, and it's not my fault my kids couldn't even live up to my standards." Another woman said, "Stop defending spoiled and helpless adults. Your college education and certifications mean nothing because you don't even have a PhD. One even admitted, "I hit my kids because they deserved it. If they didn't make me so angry, I wouldn't have had to." That's a whole lot of blame shifting, gaslighting, and invalidating from just one article. It wasn't even directed at toxic mothers, but at the children of narcissistic mothers to provide them with validation. These women, however, read it, identified with it, and boy, they were furious for having been called out. Some even demanded that I teach adult children of toxic parents to be patient and try to understand why their mothers behave that way, then show compassion, forgiveness, and respect, because no matter what, this is their mom. And to that, I have this to say. I am an advocate for the victims of narcissistic abuse. These individuals have spent years, if not a lifetime, in silence. And to survive, they prioritized the abuser's needs above their own and made excuses for the abuser's bad behavior. Encouraging victims of abuse to place themselves right back in the face of danger, to practice patience, compassion, and continue to lift the abuser in the name of respect is a mockery of the hell they've been dragged through. While it couldn't have been helped when the victim was still a helpless child or amid fear and confusion in a narcissistic relationship, as grown adults aware of this disorder, we don't make excuses for the abusers anymore. Because having endured this excruciatingly painful experience, you deserve to know with every cell in your body that you matter. You are worth loving and respecting, not because of what you can do for someone else, but because you are you. How dare someone with their own hurtful agenda plant seeds of doubts and self-loathing in your mind? How dare they take away your right to thrive and flourish as your authentic self? That is where I stand. But narcissistic abuse is tricky. Unless someone has experienced firsthand the crazy-making hell you've been dragged through, the reality of NPD abuse is virtually impossible to grasp. Well-meaning family, friends, and even professionals will offer advice based on breakups and family dynamics they're familiar with. This leaves abuse survivors vulnerable to both intentional and unintentional secondary gaslighting. So here are the four false victim-shaming beliefs that you, as a survivor, must mentally and emotionally shield yourself from. False belief number one. Stop being angry. You're giving the abuser more power. You're angry because your right to happiness and security has been violated. If anger is what you're feeling, feel it. Because when we avoid dealing with unresolved emotional issues, these unprocessed negative emotions tend to manifest in even more intense and harmful ways. No one should shame you about how the abuse left you. Whatever you feel about your abuser and the pain you've been dragged through is your truth. It's important to acknowledge your emotions, even the negative ones, so they can be properly processed. Let your anger motivate you to set stronger boundaries. Use it to heal your childhood injuries so you won't fall prey to these predators again. Use it to build yourself up so the narc will become irrelevant in your life. False belief number two, stop having a victim mentality. When one has endured prolonged emotional, mental, physical, and sexual abuse and traumas, that person is a victim of abuse. This is a fact, cut and dry. This is not a matter of having a victim mentality, which implies the individual generally perceives him or herself as a victim of life. It's important to stick to the facts and filter out the ignorant opinions. False belief number three, you must forgive the abuser to move on. By forgiving the abuser before you're ready, you invalidate your emotions, and doing this can deter your recovery. Because when we are able to acknowledge and accept even the most negative feelings as natural responses to a traumatic experience, they can be properly processed and released. But if you're going to forgive anyone, forgive yourself. It's common for survivors to blame themselves for sticking around for so long, to the extent where they start blaming themselves for the abuse altogether. It wasn't your fault that you were manipulated by someone you were sure you could trust, but now you know you were subconsciously reacting this way as a means for survival. Please forgive yourself. False belief number four. If the abuser was deprived of love and attention as a child, you should show them compassion. This is a no in all levels. The reality is, all the love and compassion you or anyone give cannot change hardwired behavioral patterns. People with narcissistic personality disorder cannot learn emotional empathy. They can't emotionally bond or genuinely care about anything outside themselves. While it's sad that the abusers have possibly become this way as a result of childhood trauma, it doesn't change the fact that we're dealing with dangerously manipulative individuals. One's tumultuous childhood upbringing does not excuse them from abusing another, nor does it nullify the victim's experience. Telling victims of abuse to be patient and love their abusers to health just continues this harmful cycle of abuse. It guilts victims into shifting their attention back on how to further prioritize and serve the abuser rather than allowing the real victim to begin healing. This is comparable to encouraging the abused victim to voluntarily go back for another helping of hell. It's these false beliefs and accusations that stunts the already difficult journey to recovery for abuse victims. All right, before I close this up, I want to remind you, if someone makes you feel bad, hurts your feelings, or make you feel uncomfortable, they don't get to tell you how you should feel about it. If you've had negative experiences with someone while others seem to know them as a completely different person who is kind and wonderful, their experiences do not cancel out yours. You've been silenced for much too long. It's time to become your own best advocate. Finally, having a strong circle of support is extremely important, so I invite you to join my Choose You email support list and let me know if you'd be interested in joining a private Facebook support group and or a weekly Zoom meeting for survivors that I'll be moderating. If there's enough interest, I can set these up within a week or two. The links to cast your vote is in the show notes. Thank you so much for joining me. If you found this episode helpful, please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or on your favorite podcasting app. And if you know someone who can benefit from the information covered, please feel free to share. Resources mentioned in this episode are listed in the show notes. I'm Carmen Sakurai, and until next time, choose you. Do it for yourself and for all of us, because our world is a better place for having you in it. Love and God bless.